Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Nugebauer, here with my guest today, Carrie Smith. Carrie, welcome. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Carrie Smith, and I work for Lutheran Family Service as the pregnancy counseling caseworker and adoption manager for the Midwest region. And I am a graduate of Concordia, Nebraska, but I've lived in Iowa for a long time.
Can you describe a little bit more the work that you do for Lutheran Family Service?
So I work with clients that find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. So as a pro-life organization, one of our biggest goals is that the woman will choose life. So we walk along their side to help them overcome the emotions and try to remove the fear and anxiety when they find out they're in an unplanned pregnancy. So an unplanned pregnancy is an unplanned pregnancy. It doesn't matter if you are 14 or if you are 42. If you did not intend to having a baby this year and you find yourself pregnant, it's unplanned. And you will experience the same emotions. So we work with any client that finds himself in an unplanned situation to help give them all the facts they need to educate them on all their options and then walk along their side. So rather that would be getting insurance set up, having conversations with their parents, having conversations with the birth father, anything that they are fearful of doing, we try to give them the power to take ownership in this decision so that in the end, they become stronger.
Well, as we talk today, we're going to be talking about factors that influence a woman's decision to either carry to term or to abort or even to adopt. And you mentioned the word fear. Does fear play a big factor in a woman's consideration of abortion, or at least what she thinks she wants to do with her unplanned pregnancy?
Fear is a big part of it because the fear of the unknown will wrestle with anyone. So especially in a woman with an unplanned pregnancy, the fear of how will I be a single parent, or how can we afford another child, or how can I go to college, or I mean, there's all these factors that go in that cause fear in your life. And unfortunately, if you are scared, you often go to technology and you say, what do I do in this situation? And the computer will often say, well, here's an organization that will help you. And it typically results in an abortion. That is definitely the one of the top things you will find when you find yourself Googling, I'm pregnant and don't know what to do. And so that fear is, the world makes it seem like it goes away if you eliminate it, but actually nothing goes away. You will always carry that emotion of that child with you.
I imagine then the work that you do on a daily, weekly, yearly basis has really changed you in the way that you see women who find themselves in unexpected pregnancies, also a time of crisis for them. How has your work changed the way that you view these women? And I imagine it has something to do with building compassion. But also, I don't want to put words in your mouth. So what has this work done to you?
I think it's made me realize that every story is different. Every woman is different. And you can't assume anything when the first time she reaches out to you. You can't put somebody's shoes on and pretend you know what's happened in their life. And so I think working in this has really made me look at every story individually and look at the woman. And a lot of times the pregnancy is the smallest part of her problems. There's so much other things going on. But if I could help her with this decision, hopefully that will dominate, overflow into her becoming more successful, her for the first time making a decision she's proud of. And a lot of it is just education and not judging. I tell every woman that I work with that ultimately, at the end of the day, this is not going to change my life. I'm going to go home to my family. I'm going to make dinner tonight. And it doesn't change me. The only person that's going to change with this pregnancy's life is your life. and you have to live with the consequences of the decision you make. So I want you to understand all the factors so you can make a decision that will make you stronger.
And how do women usually react to you kind of starting the conversation in that way?
I mean, usually they take it really well. There are some that kind of put up a wall and they don't have any trust. So the first goal is that she will trust you, that she will look at you as someone she can confide in, and I'm not going to ever tell her what to do. Again, it kind of depends on the story. Are you working with a 16-year-old girl that has a dream to go to college, or are you working with someone who has 7 children already and none of the fathers in her life have helped her? So again, learning to look at every story different and not assuming anything, but just getting her to open up so we can actually address really what she needs to accomplish to be able to make this decision.
I appreciate what you said about making sure listeners know that every story is different. Every woman comes with her own set of circumstances, and every person has their own set of fears, whether you're in a crisis pregnancy or not. I think that's part of living in a fallen world, but I think the presupposition of some people may be that if they're not in this kind of work and daily kind of, you know, care for abortion vulnerable women, it might be easy to judge and just be like, well, she's just being selfish to consider abortion. The kind of compassion that this kind of creates in you, that this work creates in you, is one to see the person as a person who Christ loves and a person whose life is wrecked by sin like everybody else's. And so for you to be able to stand there as a woman that another woman can confide in and be listened to, be heard, I mean, that's a great gift that you're able to offer these women. So thank you so much for doing that on behalf of our church.
And you have to realize that it's not just the single woman who found herself pregnant. It could be a married couple that goes in for their first ultrasound and find out they have a terminal diagnosis. And their doctor says, you should terminate this pregnancy. As a world, we don't do a great job of looking at options. You know, if you found yourself in a situation where you knew your child may only live for a couple hours, still terminating that pregnancy it's still not going to make you stronger after this decision. I've walked alongside women who are in that situation, and you encourage them. Okay, so get to that point. Let's still make a birth plan. But you will never forget that moment that you got to hold your baby, whether it was for 4 minutes or 40 days. Being able to hold them after that baby's born is far more emotionally healing than to terminate for any reason.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. We just came off of a season where we discussed this very topic. In the pregnancy center, and it may be true where you work as well, Carrie, is that we had kind of a list of risk factors when we talked with women and kind of assessed their vulnerability, we called it, to abortion. And I imagine that you kind of work with a similar assessment tool of some sorts. Can you share with our listeners what the risk factors are for a woman considering abortion? As varied as they may be, maybe what are the most common?
To me, the most common what I see is the emotional side of things. By the time they get to me, they are usually a little bit further along in their pregnancy. Most commonly right now, an abortion is done by the United States Postal Service. You can order it online. It's mailed to you. You have a private abortion in your bathroom, and you never talk to anybody about it. If they have cross that window where they can no longer take the chemical abortion, that is where I typically get more involved and get the referral, because the older the child is, the more complicated it can become for the woman. There's always going to be medical complication risk. You are causing a heartbeat to stop inside of you. You are causing it to be terminated. You're causing it then to, you know, be removed. Nothing about that is natural. I don't usually dive in too deep on the medical standpoint, because they usually are coming as a referral from their OB, who is a medical genius, or from a pregnancy center where they also have nurses on staff. And I don't pretend to be a nurse or a doctor, but I will help them set up their appointment with an OB if they don't have one. So majority of women who make an adoption plan, though, have had an abortion before. So a lot of my clients I work with have gone through that and have said, I can never do that again. So they find a different option when they find themselves in another unplanned pregnancy.
What kind of emotional risk factors might set up a woman to consider abortion over adoption or parenting?
Well, the emotional risk factor, I mean, one of the strongest one is depression. And then what do you do with your depression? Do you turn to alcohol? Do you turn to drugs? Do you turn to other unhealthy sexual relationships? In the pregnancy counseling, I feel like there's two types of women. The women that will either lock it in and they're never going to tell anybody they've ever had an abortion. Or there's the one that talks about it and can express her emotion. The one that scares me the most are the women who lock it in, because they get very good at pretending it was no big deal and it never happened or it didn't affect them. Well, anytime you lock an emotion, it affects every part of your life. It affects your physical health, your mental health, your ability to have relationships with other people. Secrets do nothing good for a body, and for any secret, that is. I think it's very important, too, that as a listener, you have to realize, assume that somebody around you has had an abortion and they've never told you about it. Because oftentimes we talk about it in a way that it's terrible, but yet we don't take in perspective that emotional side that her daughter may have had an abortion last year, or her sister may have had an abortion. And if you have had someone in your life that's been affected by abortion, you have a very hard time speaking against it, because then that's hurting the person that's had it.
Tell me, when you speak with women, you talk about their options. What options does a woman have when she finds herself in a crisis pregnancy?
We very clearly paint it out, and there's three options. You have to decide if you are going to parent this child, if you are going to have an abortion, or if you are going to place this child for adoption. So in that element, I will say, are you going to parent or are you going to pick the parents? You're not going to keep your child. Like, I keep an old receipt in my purse. I don't keep my children. I'm going to parent them. And so we are very careful in our technical terms so she understands the decision she's making. We don't decide to keep them for fun. It's you have a responsibility to this child, and what goals do you have for your child? And how can we get there? Sometimes we have many, many months to figure this out. Sometimes I've met with a client and I'll say, okay, so what's your due date? And she'll say, tomorrow. Well, then we don't have a lot of time to make this plan up, but we can make the plan still. I'll work out the details. You just figure out what's best for you and how can you become stronger from this decision. If she says, I'm considering abortion, well, then we figure out where she is in her pregnancy and what type of abortion it is. If it's going to be in the first 12 weekend, it's a chemical abortion. It's far easier for her to do it without anybody knowing, which is far scarier to me. Having to schedule an appointment and go to a clinic and have a surgical abortion takes a lot more effort than it does to just ordering it online. And so I definitely do not shy away from it. I do not assume. And so I assume she's learned everything that's probably not accurate. So my goal is to make sure that she really understands. And a lot of times I will ask her, what do you know about abortion? Or what do you know about adoption? Because most people will assume with adoption, it's foster care. And that's not at all what we're doing.
You mentioned earlier on that when a woman's deciding what she's going to do with her pregnancy, she comes in with just her own set of circumstances. She could be married or unmarried. She could be 14 or 41, you said. What are some other challenges that she might fear, but then you might help her overcome in her decision to carry her child to term, whether it's then to adopt or to parent? And I'm thinking of a couple things like her relationship status. There's studies that show that if women feel they have support, whether it's from the father of the baby or from her own family of origin or her friend group, what have you, that she's more likely to consider carrying to term. What's her housing situation? What's her financial situation? Has she had previous abortions before? These are all factors that could predispose a woman to consider abortion if she finds herself in an unplanned pregnancy. So does that ring true with your experience? And what from that list might I be missing?
No, I think you're right on there. The two most powerful people in a woman in unplanned pregnancy is the father of the baby and her parents, specifically her mother. if the father of the baby wants her to have an abortion and will pay for the abortion, she's climbing up a huge hill to overcome his obstacles. If her mother wants her to have abortion or doesn't want her to have an abortion, she has to figure out, let's say her mom is, she knows her mom is pro-life and against it. She has to figure out how she'll keep this secret from her mother forever. It is trying to figure out who are her support people, because even in the most dysfunctional family, we still care what our family thinks. They still pay power in our decision-making skills. And a lot of times it's not in that first meeting, because in that first meeting, she wants you to think her life is okay, that everything, I wouldn't say perfect, but she doesn't want you to judge her because of the factors in her life. So it takes time to build trust. Trust is something you can't see. It's hard to build, but it's easy to shatter. And unfortunately, if you're in an unplanned pregnancy, somebody has probably shattered your trust because you're in this situation and you're seeking help. So to be that stable person in her life that's not going to point a finger or judge her can go very far. And again, the ultimate goal is I want her to become stronger from this decision. I don't know any woman that has said, I had an abortion, I'm stronger today now. I've spoken at many events, and women in their 60s, 70s years old has come up to the stage afterwards and said, I had an abortion when I was 17 because I thought that was my only option, and there hasn't been a day in my life I haven't thought about my baby. So I know it plays a long-term impact, and that's where I think, as a culture, we can't be afraid to talk about it. We can't be afraid to have these conversations long before a young girl has found herself in an unplanned pregnancy situation.
So if we know some of these factors, these challenges that women are facing in unplanned pregnancies, which, if any, can the church help address so that, I guess the idea being, if we can eliminate some of the fears that she might have, some of the actual very real challenges that she faces, if we can help shoulder or eliminate those challenges, then she would be more likely to choose a decision that she's proud of, that she can look back and say that was a good and right decision. How do you think the church can step in and help women who are in a crisis pregnancy with eliminating or shouldering some of these challenges?
I think as a church, we can, number one, make sure we know what pro-life resources are in our community. There's things that we do very well, but there's things where, I mean, a church is never going to have an ultrasound machine. So who, if you have a young woman in your school or in your church that found herself pregnant, who can you refer to that's going to support her choosing life? Because that first person she comes in contact with, if they are not pro-life, it can very easily unravel, okay? We also can't be afraid to talk about it. But as we talk, we have to assume that people in our pews have had an abortion or someone close in their life has had an abortion. I have been in church before where a pastor has spoken about abortion, and I have seen a woman get up and walk out of church because it's painful for her. It hurts. It's bringing up old wounds. And so we have to be delicate. You know, I do work a lot with adoption too, and it's interesting because I could be standing with a family who adopted a baby and their birth mother, and out of love, a person in the conversation will say to the child, you are so blessed that you have these people as your parents. They're loving. They're great. They will say to the adoptive parents, how amazing is that you opened your arms to a lot of unknown and uncertainty. And then they'll look at a birth mother and say, I can't believe you gave your baby away. Well, again, she didn't give anybody away. She chose parents to fill in places that she can't fill in. And I think in our world, people are more ashamed to say they placed for adoption than they are to say they had an abortion. We have to really, as a church, be loving, and as a forgiving God, know that in the past, if you've had that decision, if you have had an abortion, that God still loves you and you need to heal from this. Moving forward, this shouldn't be a cripple in your life. Women who have had an abortion are a silent army. And once they stand up and express how it changed their emotional well-being, we won't see a lot of movement in the pro-life army.
You mentioned one thing we can do is to identify in our own area what the pro-life resources are. How do you recommend people go about doing that? Say they're in the middle of Iowa. Like, how would they go about researching what's in my area? Who could I refer to? How could I help this resource center or that?
I think looking at pregnancy resource centers are a great starting block, and actually having an interview with the executive director. Finding out what their philosophy is and where they stand to know, while they may not be LCMS, they are biblically based and they are pro-life in all entities. Also, knowing OBs that are pro-life is important. And I think just reaching into your pews, your parishioners, we all know people, and having that network of people. Having also resources. If someone has decided, I'm going to parent, okay, so what in our community is going to support them? Maybe it's with diapers, or maybe it's with help with their energy bill, or anything else that may help them in that first year as they try to navigate becoming a parent.
I mean, just to find a pro-life OB, you could actually go on to APLOG, A-A-P-L-O-G, and they have a directory of pro-life OBs on their website. There's another website. It's not LCMS, but it's called Her Plan, and that's a way that you can geographically look in your area for pro-life organizations, and we found that to be a really helpful tool as well. Churches can also consider, you know, if finances and, you know, providing housing and clothing and everything that is involved with taking care of a new life, if that's a challenge for these moms, churches can consider doing things like diaper drives, or doing a lot of pregnancy centers have baby bottle campaigns to collect loose change that go towards these pregnancy centers and the care that they can provide. Many areas, there's also housing resources as well. I also see that as an area where the church can step in and support some of these organizations that are already in place that do that well, so long as they're, like you said, they're pro-life, they're biblically based, and we have this goal of caring for mom and baby. Can you share a story that's really stuck with you throughout your time working at Lutheran Family Service of caring for a woman and her baby?
I mean, I have lots of them if you want to stay for a couple hours. But there was one story that really still has implanted a special spot in my heart. A woman who was a senior in high school found out she was pregnant in January or so. And then COVID, we went into lockdown in March. And schools closed. She couldn't work. She was a huge athlete, so all of her sports were canceled, and so she hid her pregnancy for many, many months. She knew her parents were pro-life, and she was accepted to go to college in the fall, and she knew there was no way to follow her dream and become a single and to be a mom. She was still with her boyfriend, but they both had a college plan. They both were not ready to give up that dream to become parents, and they didn't know, like, are we really going to be together forever? Like, is this fair to this child? And when she was 8 months pregnant, she finally went into a pregnancy center, and she said, I need an ultrasound because I am going to drive to an abortion clinic on Monday to get an abortion. The sonographer did the ultrasound, and she didn't look very pregnant. She was a very athletic person. It was her first baby, and she was young. And she was in shock, and she figured she was probably 37 weeks at the time, and had some very hard conversations with this young lady of, you know, at this point, having an abortion at 37, 38 weeks next week, and driving yourself alone 8 hours to have this done, it's not a good idea. This could be a life-threatening situation. You could go into labor tonight and your baby would be just fine. Like, this is, you know, this baby can survive outside the womb today. She will be just fine. And she said, I really think you need to have a conversation with Carrie about all of your options and how to tell your parents. And so she did reach out to me, and we had a conversation. And then when we met in person, she brought her mother. My heart sympathizes, because her mother was still in complete shock, that she didn't see it, that every time she's like, well, we went on vacation 3 months ago and she was in a swimsuit. I couldn't even tell she was pregnant. I can't believe I didn't see this. Feeling a lot of guilt and shame as a parent. And we talked through it and she picked an adoptive family. They were going to meet face to face. We met on a Friday. They were supposed to meet face to face on Sunday afternoon. But on Saturday morning, she called me because her water broke and she gave birth to a baby boy. But while she was leaving, the adoptive parents were there and she had happened to choose an adoptive mother that was a nurse. And when it came time to deliver, the doctor said, as a nurse, why don't you be the first one to hold your baby? And she delivered the baby then. And they all cried together. They all spent a solid 36 hours together in that hospital. Because during COVID, if you left the hospital, you weren't allowed back. So everybody stayed really cozy and saw a lot of time with each other. Fast forward 5 years, this little boy is thriving. His birth mother has graduated from college. She's in a relationship. She's very proud of her decision. She stays in contact with the adoptive family. And this little boy just finished kindergarten. And it is a little genius. He is just amazing. And it was a blessing out of COVID because it was very difficult for her to find a reason to leave home for more than a day. So she just, this little perfect little baby just kept growing for 9 months. And because of a PRC, speaking life and connecting her to someone, she never has to live with that guilt and that pain.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible that you also get to follow her and him and then his adoptive mom throughout all this time. What a gift.
Even whether they parent too, they just kind of become your people. And so every year on the birthday of their child, you just send them a message, happy birthday. I hope you're still doing well. Because when you can put a positive influence in somebody's life, they might tell their friend about somebody else that's pro-life. You know, word of mouth is by far the most powerful advertising. And we're not trying to sell anything. We're trying to just help women become stronger when they find themselves in an unplanned situation. Lutheran Family Service is our adoption agency. We have Many Hearts Unplanned Pregnancy Support. And if you go to manyhearts.org, you can see all of the parenting advice. It just really is an educational site for any woman who's in an unplanned pregnancy.
Thank you, Carrie. And thank you so much for the work that you do and the work that Lutheran Family Service does for the U.S. What a wonderful gift.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here today.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people He has called you to serve, right where you are, in God's mission.